So in starting Simen Sadi Aleph, we're really beginning the pyramid, which lies at the core of Hilchos Basar B'Chalav. The way Basar B'Chalav is organized in the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch, the central five simanim, Sadi Aleph, Sadi Beis, Sadi Gimel, Sadi Dal, Sadi Hey, are really built like a pyramid. In other words, it starts from the bottom, you work your way up, and you peak in Simen Sadi Beis, and then you work your way down to Simen Sadi Hey. In the following sense, you begin going up in one dimension, and we continue going down in a different dimension. We begin this Simen Sadi Aleph, going to Sadi Beis, going to work our way up in terms of the intensity of the connection between Basar and Chalav. Now, over these five simanim, we're talking about cases where the Basar and Chalav are actually interacting. And is there a kashrus problem? Is there not a kashrus problem? L'chatchila b'diyevet. So we were going to begin with just begin with Simen Sadi Aleph, that they're merely touching. If Basar and Chalav are touching, they have simple cold contact, what's the status? And then later in Simen Sadi Aleph, the connection becomes more intense. We're talking about cases where it's not just a question of contact, but there's actually a transmission, a sharing of flavors, but without Bishol. That's going to be the later part of Simen Sadi Aleph. Nesinas Tam, not just Negiah, but Nesinas Tam, but without Bishol. And following Simen Sadi Beis, we're going to peak the top of the pyramid, where there's Nesinas Tam Alidei Bishol. Actually, the Basar and Chalav being cooked together, and there's not only Nesinas Tam, but the intermingling may pose a problem of Basar and Chalav Daraisa. And then, from Sadi Beis, work our way down, they say that's sort of the other end of the pyramid, we're going to work our way step down from Sadi Beis, Sadi Gimel, Sadi Dal, Sadi Hey, and that stepping down is going to be in terms of the remoteness of the Basar and Chalav. How close are they? Simen Sadi Beis is going to be the Basar and Chalav Mamash being cooked together. Some milk drips into a pot of fleshik. Say, Mamash, you're cooking the Basar and Chalav together. So that's sort of the height of closeness. And then it gradually becomes more and more remote. From a case of Basar and Chalav being cooked together in Simen Sadi Beis, then you work step down as we move on to a case where the Basar and Chalav aren't together. I have a food that was Boleya Basar that's being cooked with Chalav. So sort of like one step removed. And then we'll talk about a Kli, a Fleisha Kli with Milchiks. Or a Milchik Kli with Fleishiks. Once again, one step removed. The meat and milk aren't together. They're one step removed because there's a Davra Bolua in between. And then finally, we work our way down to the most removed in Simen Sadi Hey, and that's where we already referenced just a couple of minutes ago in the end of Simen Pei Tes, Nat Bar Nat, where the fleisha goes into the kli and doesn't even emerge from the kli into milchiks. It emerges from the kli into parev food, which then may mix with milchiks. So we're going to be, from Simen Sadi Beis and on, we're going to be stepping down in terms of how close versus how distant the chalav and basar are from each other. Are they directly touching? Are they 1 degree of separation or 2 degrees of separation? So that's the second half of the pyramid, the stepping down from Sadi Beis to Sadi Hey. Right now we begin the ascent up the pyramid, as I just mentioned. We'll begin with the first three se'ifim of Simen Sadi Aleph, talk about cases where the meat and cheese are merely in contact, but there is no Nesinas Tam. And that is why, beyond this, before we move on to the latter part of Simen Sadi Aleph, next time, Richem, we're going to have to begin with the Hakdama to Tam Ke'ikar in general, to Tam transfer, because the discussion of transfer of flavor really begins with that second step up the pyramid in Simen Sadi Aleph Sivdal. But here we are focusing on the issues of a contact. And the truth is, the steps up the pyramid that I mentioned, and merely touching, and then Nesinas Tam without cooking, and then actually cooking them together, Nesinas Tam with cooking, they are already laid out on our Amud. You're looking at Simon, the Mishnah and the Gemara, the Baram Kuv Zainam and Aleph, and the Mishnah Kuv Ches, it's all laid out here. Right? The Mishnah had said, the beginning of the Mishnah, the Baram Kuv Zainam days, Sorera Dam Basu Gvim with Pachas Achas, that a Jew can store his meat and his cheese in the same in the same handkerchief, the same piece of aluminum foil in our terminology. I can have one piece of aluminum foil that I'm using to store both cold cuts and cheese, as long as it's done in a way that they're not touching each other. With cloth is a little more difficult. I have to have a twist in between. With aluminum foil is a little bit easier. And the Gemara says, and let's say they are touching. Woe be wrong if I stack my salami on top of my cheese and I wrap them up together. Tzonim, but tzoninu. It's not basar b'chalav. There's no bishul. A is not basar b'chalav. There's no bishul. And there isn't even any nesinas tam. There isn't any absorption of flavor even without cooking. You're not salting it. You're not soaking it. Garnished. Solid meat, solid cheese. They're just touching each other. What's wrong? So that harks back already to the sugi we saw earlier in the parak in Kuf Dalam and Beis. The Gemara said sonin but sonin is not basar b'chalav daraisa. To eat a cold sandwich of salami and cheese is an isra drabanan, not an isra daraisa. That's what the Gemara here says as well. You're right. It's not basar b'chalav daraisa. Amar Abai nehi deklipa lo bai. You don't have to. If they were to touch, you wouldn't have to peel off the outer layer. But you have to rinse the surface? So what does that mean? What that means is if there was a method of tam transfer, if it wasn't just plain cold cheese and plain cold salami, and salami is a bag, let's say it was a salty salami, it was a pungent salami, there was melicha, the salt is transferring flavor, so then already there would be some absorption of flavor, and maybe I would have to peel off the outer layer of the cheese, because it was actually bolea, the tom of the meat. And we'll get to that discussion more later in Siman Sadi Alf. So the Gemara is saying, okay, there's no blia at all. So I don't even have to peel off the outer layer of the meat or the cheese, but you still have to do hadacha. You still have to rinse the surface. Why have to rinse the surface? Because there's no blia, there's no transfer of flavor, but there will be residue that will be left on the surface. So there, the now you already have, if it's residue alone, if it's just surface residue, you just have to do hadacha. You just have to clean the surface, but you don't have to remove any of the food itself. If there were to be nesinas tam, if there was some method of tam transfer, then you would have to remove at least the first layer. You have to take off at least a klipa. And kuf ches amid aleph, the Mishnah already talks about the third step in the pyramid where the milk actually drips into the pot of fleishiks. And that, at that point, once you're cooking it, then there's already a concern that it may not just have spread into the first layer, just peel off the first layer, it may have spread through the whole pot. We'll get to those details, Mirchem, in Siman Tzadi Beis. And again, our sugya is focused on, there's no nesinas tam, but there may be surface be'en. Be'en means actual residue. There's actual chunks, actual residue. If I had stacked the mozzarella cheese on top of the salami, so I don't have to, if it's just cold, they weren't salty, so I don't have to worry that one absorbed the flavor of the other, but there may be little bits of cheese remaining on the salami. There may be little bits of salami remaining on the surface of the cheese, so that's why you have to rinse it off. That's you have to rinse it off, and that is what the Shulchan Aruch writes here in Siman Tzadi Aleph, that you have to. If they did touch one another, mutarim, they still remain kosher. It's not hot. It's not salty. There's no time transfer. If I can't eat them together, but I can separate them and eat each one separately. But before you can eat each one separately, you have to rinse the surface where they were touching. Okay. And he goes on to say the din that our Mishnah has. It's interesting. He starts by quoting the Gemara, and then he quotes the Mishnah. Mutar latzuro sambim mitachas achas v'lo chayshinan shem yigav zeh v'zeh. That's an interesting kula. We have all sorts of chumras, midrabanati, marchik, basar, and gvina. I cannot eat one after the other. I cannot eat one when the other one is on the table. But in terms of storage, we do allow you to store it separately. I'm not worried that I'm going to, separately but near each other, I'm not worried that they're going to touch. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. The the Shach and Sivkan Aleph and Rekiv Eger and the Pesach Tshuva and Sivkan Aleph, so they point out sometimes Hadacha isn't even necessary. He said if they touch you after rinse, so these Achronim, you put those three Achronim together, the Shach, Rekiv Eger and Pesach Tshuva, they say sometimes there's no need to even rinse it. If it's totally dry and not salty and not sharp, so then there's nothing. The two things touch each other, but there's mamish no residue. There's nothing there. So then you don't even need to wash. You don't even need to wash. But usually, cheese has some grease. There'll be some moisture on the surface. Or there'll be the sharpness of saltiness, or the sharpness of onion or spice. But in a harami, if you have totally dry, totally dry dehydrated, totally dry milk, and totally dry cheese, and totally dry meat. So strictly speaking, it's not a halacha moshu yisini, you must do hadacha. It's a practical concern. If there is residue, that one left on the other, you have to remove it. But there's no nesinas tam. If indeed, this is actually similar to what we discussed earlier this evening about your fingers. You eat gavina first, and then you come in to eat fleishiks. If the fingers are clean, they're clean. But if the fingers are dirty, you have to wash them. Okay. Usually, if the one food is touching another food, usually there's a concern of some residue. But in a chanami, not. And the Pesach Tshuva points in the other direction also. He says, what we said, lakula, is also true, lechumra. Sometimes, even if it's merely a matter of residue, sometimes washing alone is not sufficient. So he says, he gives two such examples. One example is where one of the foods is very greasy, and the other example is where one of the foods is particularly soft and porous. So he says, if you have a very greasy piece of cheese, or a very greasy piece, a very fatty piece of meat, so merely washing is not going to be enough. You're going to have to really scrub. Pesach Tshuva says, you'll need shifshuf gadol. Okay, again, practical. And the other example he gives, Pesach Tshuva gives, is if you have a very soft food, like the Shulchan Aruch writes in Siv Gimel about bread, or he talks about very soft vegetables, you have squash. So if it got fleishiks on it, it got milchiks on it, you're just going to rinse it. It's porous. You're going to have to scrape the surface. But again, it's just a practicality. You need to do whatever you need to do to ensure that there's no surface residue remaining. That, in fact, is what the Shulchan Aruch quotes in Siv Gimel. And this is based on a Yerushalmi that the Rashba and the Tur and other Rishonim quote. Sarach li zaher shlo yiga basar belechem. If you have a loaf of bread at a fleishik meal, you want to make sure that the meat doesn't touch the bread. I mean, you have a slice of bread that you're eating, it's fine. But if you have half a loaf on, or you have a sliced bread on the tray, if the flesh will touch the bread, in yigaba asul achlo im gvina. Once the meat touches the bread, you can't really clean bread. Again, unless you're going to start scraping the surface. The same is true if you have a slice of bread that touched cheese, and you can't eat that slice of bread with meat. And then there's one final point in this discussion, and that is a comment of the Sefer HaItur. The Sefer HaItur was a Rishon, Rabbi Yitzchak of Marseille, a Rishon from Provence, from southern France, in the 1100s. He was a contemporary of the earliest of the Baal Yatosos. He's a contemporary of Rabbeinu Tam, a contemporary of the Ra'av Bezdin, the father-in-law of the Ravid. The Sefer HaItur is quoted by the Tur, and here quoted in Shulchan Aruch Sif Beis. He had a diuk in the Gemara. Diuk in the Mishnah, really. Because the Mishnah had said, you're allowed to have the meat and the cheese in the same handkerchief or the same piece of aluminum foil as long as they're not touching. The Gemara said, if they do touch, you have to do hadacha. So why did the Mishnah say, as long as they're not touching? You mean, why did you say, you can put them in the same mitpachas, if they touch, you have to rinse them. And we say, don't let them touch. So the Itra says, if you read the Mishnah slowly and carefully, there is an Isser here. There's an Isser l'chatchila. Call me the Dibay Hadacha, Sif Beis, Kigon Laniach Basar Heter Tzonin, V'kaira Shal Isser Tzonin. Any situation where Hadacha will be required, Asr l'chatchila. I'm not allowed to go ahead and generate a Hadacha situation. I'm not allowed to take a piece of kosher meat and put it on a tray for a greasy plate. And the Shach says, or vice versa. Or to take a piece of tray for meat and put it on a kosher plate. Let's say I have I bought some tray for meat that I'm going to feed to the cat. So can I put it onto the kosher plate? And afterwards I'll wash the plate. Asr chatchila. You're not allowed to generate a hadacha situation. Why? Dilma achir below hadacha. We're worried you may forget to do hadacha. And Itra says, that's the Mishnah. The Mishnah didn't say, you can tzor adam, basar gvim pachas achas, ubelvad she'im nogu she'yadiyach. The Mishnah said, ubelvad she'lohi nogin. I'm not, in other words, if they are nogin, it's usher to do it. If you did it, okay, now you have to do hadacha. But I'm not allowed to create a hadacha situation. That is what the Itur is medayik, and that is quoted by the Torah, and that's quoted by the Shulchan Aruch. Aser lechatchila dilma acha below hadacha. Okay, there you have it. That's but then it's similar to what he saw in Ziv Gimel. You're not allowed to have the. You shouldn't, if you want to use the bread with gvina, don't let the meat touch it. I can't rely on doing hadacha. Because again, the Mishnah didn't present it as a chiyuv hadacha, the Mishnah presented it as an iser. As an iser, egzera shema yishkach. And then the Shulchan Aruch goes on to quote that the Rishonim say there is one exception. The exception, I'm not allowed to create a hadacha situation unless it's a situation where I would do hadacha anyways, not just for halachic purposes, but for culinary purposes. He says, davka mevushal, to take cooked kosher meat and put it on a tray for plate, lav urchir b'hadacha, I wouldn't otherwise wash it off, except that it has some treifas on it, on the surface. That's not right. But let's say I have raw kosher meat. A raw kosher meat that I'm going to put onto a treifa dish, that's fine. Raw kosher meat, I'm going to rinse it anyways. Raw meat, I'm planning to rinse it, not just for halachic purposes, because there's tray for residue. For culinary purposes, I always rinse the meat before I prepare it. Midi do urche ba'adach, like basar chai, the chayus to b'ashar l'chatchila. So that is the diuk of the Sefer Ha'itor in the Mishnah Kuf Zayin of Beis, that you're not allowed to set up a situation where hadacha will now be required for halachic reasons. Gzeira Shema Yishkach Lahadiach. Now the Ramah raises a question, we'll close with this. We'll close with the following scenario. Bibididi Hava Uvda, this happened to me. My wife and I, when we were newlyweds, we were heading down from New York to Baltimore to run a summer kollel. At that point we lived in Washington Heights. We didn't own our own car, and we rented a vehicle to drive down from New York to Baltimore. And we had a blowout. It was a new SUV from Enterprise, and we had a blowout on the highway. So the rental company put us up, and it was very late at night at that point. The rental company put us up in a hotel overnight. We weren't planned for this. We weren't prepared for this. We thought we would be in Baltimore by supper time. We certainly didn't intend to be eating breakfast on the road the next morning. But here we are. We come to the hotel and we eat breakfast. So they provided... I think they were wondering why we were only asking for cereal and milk, and even when the room service menu had much finer offerings. And they couldn't really figure why we didn't want to have breakfast. But they provide us with cereal and milk and a china bowl and metal spoons to eat the cereal and milk with. And mamish treifa, kalem. Those spoons and bowls have no doubt been used for basar b'chalav, they've been used for nevela, they've been used for basar chazir, all sorts of machalos asuras. But now they're clean. A clean spoon and a clean bowl, but they're clearly, you know, chock full of trefa blias, but kosher surface. Clean kosher surface. And the milk is kosher and the cereal is kosher. So mahadin. Am I allowed to eat cereal and milk with a clean but cold cereal, cold milk with a clean but trefa kalem? So that is, so this is the one issue left to discuss in the world of Negiah. There's no heat, there's no salting, there's no method of time transfer. It's just contact. So the Ramah says, in giving you a kula, he gives you a chumra. He says, the only time this is also chatchila to put the one on top of the other, we're going to require hadacha. If there's some moisture, davar yavesh mamish, if an absolutely dry piece of food, Cheerios, a piece of matzah, then I'm allowed to put it on top of a tray for kli, because there isn't a need for hadacha at all. That's Rama Shachat Tolson Sif Aleph. That's Rama here telling us in base. If it's totally dry and clean, there's no need for hadacha. He says. But that's only true im lo bala hakli rak bitsonin. If the kli that you're dealing with, the treifa kli, was never used for hot treifas, so then mutar l'niach bo davar yavish below hadacha klal. So the Ramah is implying that you should not put kosher food into a truly treifa kli. If I have a bowl, for instance, that I've used in the past for tray for soup, I have a soup spoon that I've used in the past for tray for soup, Ramah implies, even though right now there's no blia going on, you're not allowed to use tray for kalim with kosher food, even though it's cold. So that's the implication of the Ramah. There's an incredibly lengthy shach. Incredibly lengthy shach. You see Sifkat and Gimel. Uncharacteristically lengthy. Shach, he takes the Ramah to task at length. He says, "Kol devar mitchilasam v'atzofam enemu vanimli." He says he doesn't understand the whole Ramah from beginning to end, and line by line, piece by piece, he picks the Ramah apart, and he ends up saying that at the bottom that he disagrees with the Ramah. Look, the Vilna Gaon here quotes Rabbeinu Tam, Vilna Gaon Sifkat and Gimel, quotes Rabbeinu Tam in at the end of a long Tosfos, the Bar Lama Beis Amad Aleph in Avodah Zarah. Rabbeinu Tam writes, Delo ke Ramah, in certain respects, that if you have dry food, you can put it in a tray for kli. I have a kli that had been previously used with Basar B'chalav, Isuri Ana. A dry food I could put in, kosher dry food I could put into clean tray for kli. That's Rabbi Tam writes. The shach comes to maskan the very, very end. We're not going to read the whole shach together. Mamash, the last line or two of Sifkat and Gimel in the shach, right before Sifkat and Dalet. He says, if you have, he says maybe you should avoid ceramic, the old-fashioned ceramic, which is very porous, and not glazed at all. But a typical tray for kli, he thinks you can even put an afilulach. Even if you have something moist, you could put in a cold, moist food, cereal milk, to put into a clean, cold tray for kli. He says, mutter. There's no blia. Where's the blia? There's no blia going on. What's the problem? So here, Rashach says, to have the cereal milk in the clean, cold cereal milk in a clean, cold tray for kli is mutter. But then the shach says, one hesitation. Miu kol ze bederach harai. This is only to do it on an irregular basis, once in a while. Like one morning you wake up, you're stuck, you end up stuck on the side of the road, you end up an unplanned overnight in a hotel. Okay, so once in a blue moon, you end up in the hotel, you weren't planned, you have the right to eat, you don't have to eat your cereal milk without a spoon. You can use the clean metal spoon, clean cold metal spoon, clean cold treif, metal spoon that the hotel provides together with the cold kosher food. Bederach haroi. But since they do it on a regular basis, is wrong. In Balei Shtamish Bem Derech Keva, on a regular basis, you're only going to have, on a regular basis, you're going to use your fleishik spoon, clean fleishik spoon, with your milchik, a cereal and milk, is absolutely not. To do it, Bekevias is wrong, Gezeir Hashem Yishtamish Behen Chamen. Because if you get into the habit of doing this, sooner or later you're going to slip up, you're going to do it with hot food. Hot food already, there's a concern of real bliya. Then you're really playing with fire. No pun intended. So if everything is clean and cold, but the kalim are treif within, they're bolea treif, but the surface is clean and cold. So the shach says it's mutter ba'aroi, but not bekvius. Obviously, you need to be sensitive to the people around you. To do this in a kosher kitchen will likely elicit great concern, if not panic, from other inhabitants of the house. So it may well, even ba'aroi, it may not be a violation of basur b'chalav, but it may very well be a violation of onoas dvarim and avos Yisrael, if even on an irregular basis, once in a blue moon, you can use a fleishik, a spoon, with a cereal and milk. If you're going to cause anguish to another Jew, perhaps another member of your household, so that is obviously an iser doraisa, benadam lachadero, to cause someone else aggravation. But in a situation where it's not going to cause aggravation, so bekvius, it's still a concern. Shemi shetan shem bechamin, we don't allow that. But ba'aroi, if it's not going to cause anyone else aggravation, so ba'aroi, it is mutter, again, if it's a trefa kli, but its surface is clean and everything is cold, so there's no concern of neither of mixing in a trefa be'en, because the surface is clean, nor is there a concern of the flavor that's trefa flavor is balua coming out, because everything is cold. So then the aroi, the shach, is mekel. But it again brings to mind, I think Rabbi Shechter quotes in Nefesh HaRav, a story with the Rav and the Chaim Soloveitchik. There were Rebbe and Soloveitchik was out of the house, and they decided to get creative in the kitchen. They had a whole cheshbon. They're trying to figure out which is milchik, which is fleishik. And she came home and she said she saw what had happened. The Rav starts to explain why they did this, why they did that. And apparently, Rebbe and Soloveitchik said, "You and your Yoredei are going to trafe up my kitchen." So, av'al zeh ne'emar. Don't try this at home. Number one, because as the Shach points out, if you mess up, you could end up creating problems. Bekvius, it is wrong. Obviously, if it's going to cause anyone aggravation, that's an Yisr B'nam L'chadero. But the Shach is Mekel, strictly speaking, if you have a clean and cold treif kli, can be used on an occasional basis with cold kosher food. I both say thank you so much. And once again, as I said before, when we pick up next time, The balance of Siman Sadi Aleph already from Siman Sivdalad and on begin to get into the world of Nesinas Tam in various forms. So we're going to Blineta next time pick up first with an introduction to the general issue of Tam Ke'ikar, and then we'll get into the specifics that are developed over the course of Siman Sadi Aleph, Siman Sadi Beis, and on. Thank you so much. Have a marvelous night.